Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. Talk to other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. And you can share experiences on the app. I mean, you can start enjoying ongoing conversations. You can watch games. It's like being at the bar, except for, well, you're in a chat room listening to it online. And, of course, you can give your opinions and not have to deal with Twitter trolls. All you need to do to get this app, go to the iOS App Store, Google Play Store, and download the Spotify Green Room. Create your profile, link your Twitter, join your group. And come in with your spiciest takes. Spotify Green Room. Go ahead and check it out. All right, guys. Welcome to our Pit Panther Rants. Another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by the sports drink. Gulp, gulp, sip, sip, whatever. All right. Today's Friday. Happy Friday to you guys. I hope you guys are feeling a little bit better. The pollen and ragweed's been driving me nuts here, so I have to hop on my allergy meds, which kind of sucks. I hate having runny noses and whatnot. Never a fun thing. I got breakfast coming here in a little bit. Thank you, Uber Eats. And let's talk about what's going on. Well, last night we had the Patriots and the Cowboys play. Patriots were minus, not Patriots, shit. I'm thinking, you know why I'm thinking Patriots? Tom Brady. Because when you think of Tom Brady, you think of the Patriots. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys were, they opened as a +6.5 point underdog. The line grew to 9, and I kind of figured, well, I had a feeling they were going to cover because plus 9 is very generous. And everybody was hammering Tampa Bay for whatever reason. And you got Dak who's come back from injury, but you don't know what exactly you're getting. But obviously the Cowboys were, they came pretty well prepared. I mean, Dak had a hell of a game. He threw for over 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, they had 29 points against, I mean, they took a team to the wire that has Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, Godwin, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Brock Gronkowski. I mean, Cowboys went up against a loaded team and they took them to the final seconds. It's just that they took the lead with, and they left too much time on the clock, unfortunately, because, well, they had to kick the field goal. But Tom Brady drove down the field and the rest was history. But it was a great opening for another great season. Great game to watch. I enjoyed it. And on the same day, TJ Watt signed his extension. He's getting $80 million guaranteed, $112 million contract, 4 years. Good for TJ. He wanted, obviously, $100 million guaranteed. He wasn't going to get it. I'm sure he wasn't going to get it. But for one thing, $100 million is basically, you set a high salary as a talking point. So, hey, this is what I want. And then the Steelers come and say, well, we can just give you this. Because if TJ asked for $80 million guaranteed, the Steelers probably gonna offer him only $60 million. So I know people didn't like what he was doing, but you gotta hold out for every penny you can. I mean, that's what Le'Veon Bell did. And, I think if the Steelers would have bumped that money up, he would have signed with Pittsburgh. He would have signed with us. But I believe with him, I don't know. I think the Steelers weren't going to sign him because, one, the season before was the first full season he played without injury or suspension. So when you have that type of history where you're injured, especially in the playoffs where if you're not able to perform, they're not going to give you a lot of money. You know, one thing they need you for really is the playoffs more than anything. And if you're hurt, you know, you're unreliable. And then, you know, but the Steelers probably, you know, they franchise, but I can understand from Le'Veon Bell's perspective, despite that, he put up big numbers receiving and rushing. So he had every right to hold out for a longer deal and more guaranteed money. Steelers had their reasons as well for not giving it to him. And, you know, Steelers said, we'll just franchise you. But Le'Veon Bell said, okay, I'm leaving. And, you know, Ben's leadership took a PR hit because he had him and Antonio Brown both leaving. And they blamed Ben for it. Obviously, Ben's relationship with Bell wasn't all that great. I mean, although Ben did send a text hoping he would report to camp and, you know, didn't work out. And, of course, Steelers raided his locker room after he left. And when he was nowhere coming back, the teammates raided his locker room and trashed it. So there was that. But on the flip side of it, TJ, you know, since he held out, he wasn't voted as a team captain. And I have no issues with that because if you're not, he wasn't playing in the preseason, I don't think. You know, he was participating in his own little drills, and you know, if you're not there, then if you're really not there, they're not gonna vote you. That's just how it is. I mean, there was times where Ben deserved Steelers MVP and he didn't get voted, even when he was declared person. It's just how they feel about you at that moment. Now, the Big 12 did finally vote to formally expand, and they got Central Florida's in, so they're in the P5 conference. BYU's in, Houston's in, and Cincinnati's in. So, I mean, props to Cincinnati because, you know, when they were in the Big East, they made the most of their stay, especially in football. Two BCS appearances. They could have had, I think they could have at least one more if Zach Kolaris doesn't get hurt. Houston, long overdue. They were left in the dust when the Southwest Conference, you know, broke up and left to fend for themselves. They should have gotten in the Big 12 initially, but Baylor obviously had, you know, more lawyers and politicians. So did Texas Tech. So they were going to get their teams in no matter what. Central Florida, Pitt initially wanted them in when the Big East was trying to expand, and you know, everybody else's answer was Villanova. And thank God Pitt left. Now, I think the Big 12, I think, is here to stay. I don't think it's going to break up because I think there's a fear of a form of a super conference, and I think they're trying to avoid that. I think they're trying to avoid the SEC expanding it more than what it should because you know, they can go after more teams if they wanted to and form that. But supposedly the Big 12 pays more in terms of money, in terms of per team payout, so I don't know. I mean, I know there's talk about West Virginia trying to get in the ACC, but if the Big 12 is going to be there to stay, and the money's better, stay in the Big 12. You could play. I mean, you could play us out of conference. At least that's what I would do. Now, Pitt's playing against Tennessee this week. Now, looking at Pitt and Tennessee this week. The Twitter account Dream Backfield, who is at Into Pitt, mentioned, it's pretty much lost its last 10 games against P5 opponents. They're 0-10. A lot of them, I think all of them are one-score games. And now they're going to Tennessee, and they're coming back as a surprisingly a 3.5-point favorite right now. It's the line started at 2, and I think it's moved to take a look here. Good question. Let's go to the ACC real quick and see. Right now it's a 3. I've seen a I have seen a 3.5, so it's gone from 2 to 3. Which to me is kind of concerning. Pitt being a road favorite against Tennessee is a bit concerning to me, because I feel that on a betting side, but everybody's probably going to hammer the Tennessee plus 3. So maybe something magical happens for Pitt. I really don't, you know, I wouldn't bank on it. The over is 56.5, and I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I think this is going to be a low. I think it goes under. I think this game kind of screams like a 17-10 kind of game, 20, you know, to me. Obviously for Pitt. But let's start for a second. I do give the Tennessee fans a lot of credit for drumming up all the propaganda to make this game bigger than what it really is. There's some articles about Tennessee being matched up against a mediocre Pitt team. Pat Narduzzi made some sort of fake comment. Well, the guy said it was fake, and people have run with it. I don't know. I have no idea what. Oh, they play at Neyland Stadium, so I really. I don't know. When I think of Tennessee at football, I think of probably Peyton Manning and T. Martin. I mean, they won the title with T. Martin. That's really about it. I mean, I don't really think of much anything else about them. I mean, who else is on that team? Wasn't Jamal Lewis on that team? I think. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on it. There's also the women's basketball. They had remember that? Candace Parker, but people remember her. I grew up with college with Shamik Holtzclaw. That's when they were really dominant. Oh, yes, Pat Summitt. That's who I remember. And I remember Tennessee was known for, when you thought of women's basketball, you thought of Tennessee. But then Gino Auriemma and UConn Huskies came into the town. And now you think of women's basketball, you think of UConn now. Which makes me wonder if what would happen if UConn would have stayed in the AAC. Are they one of the guys who gets invited to the Big 12? Because they would have been a better basketball conference by then. And on top of that, I mean, women's basketball, you got UConn and Baylor in the same conference. And that would have been a lot of fun. But UConn's in the Big East now. But looking at the Pitt-UConn game, I mean, Tennessee game, I see as low scoring. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered about our offense. We know we have Kenny Pickett and the receivers. One thing they have to do in terms of receivers is make sure they're catching the football, because we always have that problem. Kenny's not going to have the same amount of time to throw like he did against UMass. So the ball has to get out quicker, accurately. And on top of that, Pitt needs to establish some sort of ground game with somebody. And of course, the offensive line, I mean, is it going to be more of the same, or Kenny's running for his life and he's limping by the third quarter? I'm really hoping not by now. But if that happens here on Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be really, really concerned. So obviously your keys are Pitt's offensive line. Can they protect Kenny? Can they help establish some sort of ground game? That's your big thing. Pitt obviously is going to go against Joe Milton, and he was very inaccurate and decisive. He was like 11 for 23 last week against Bowling Green. My fear is that Pitt loves man coverage. I think my fear is he's going to take advantage of the man coverage. I think, you know, Pitt obviously needs to get pressure on him, but one thing that was pointed out is when Milton has time, it seems like he's more indecisive as he has time. And the more indecisive he is, you know, what happens? And I need to mute my conversations with somebody because I don't want them calling me during my podcast because I hate that shit. But the way I see this game is it look on paper, everything, it looks like Pitt could win this one. But it's at Tennessee. They're going to be loud. I have a feeling Tennessee's defense is going to bend and not break against Pitt. And we're going to have to rely on our kicking game. And I think this is going to be one of those type of games where it's low scoring and Pitt has to rely on their special teams. And, well, punting will be fine, but kicking not so much. We're probably going to shank a few field goals. So, given Pitt's history playing as P5s, especially on the road, I'm going with Pitt to lose to Tennessee 17-10. I think it's a 17-10, 17-13 game. If Pitt does win, it's going to be a 17-10, 17-13 game. But as we've seen with recent history here, there's not enough that convinces me to pick a win this game. But I could be wrong, and you know what? I love being wrong. So, but you know what? Maybe I should go to Spotify Green Room and talk about all this. Maybe one day. You know, it's a live audio-only sports talk platform. You know, it's free to download to use it. Talk to our fans. Invite some of your buddies, you know, have a watch party. Athletes, talk to insiders and real-time, even bloggers. You know, you can start your ongoing conversations. You can watch your games together. You know, have your little watch parties. You can react to the biggest news and breaking news and rumors and games and have long, in-depth conversations. I mean, you're talking to other sports fans, athletes, executives. I mean, you're talking to a whole bunch of people. And all you got to do is go to the iOS App Store or the Google Play Store, download it for free, create your profile, link your Twitter, and come in with your spiciest takes. Now let's take a look at the rest of the ACC for this weekend. Duke plays tonight against North Carolina A&T. Duke should win this one. I don't see why not. I hope they win it, because it didn't look good for them last week. Yeah, they lost a good Charlotte. Illinois, Virginia. I think UVA, they're -10.5 at home. I like UVA at home in this one. Excuse me, I'm drinking my juice. Georgia Tech against Kennesaw State. There's no line for this game, but I would hope that Georgia Tech would win it. It didn't work out well from last weekend. Jesus, a lot of 1AA teams. Wake Forest and Norfolk State. Wake should win this one easily. Virginia Tech and Middle Tennessee. This game will be... Tech is a -20 after being North Carolina. I like Middle Tennessee to cover on this one. I think Tech wins it, but Middle Tennessee covers. Rutgers and Syracuse. Oh my God, an old Big East rivalry. The Battle of New York at 1 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, ACC Network. Wow. Rutgers, -2.5 favorite. It's at Syracuse, but I'm going to go Rutgers. Syracuse is a hot mess. It's obviously a must win for Syracuse, but yeah, I just don't see it happening. Not especially for Dino. Boston College, UMass, Phil Yurkovic takes over where he left off last week, and they destroy UMass. South Carolina State and Clemson. Clemson, I think, will recover from last week's disappointment. Miami and Appalachian State. Miami -9 against this. Appalachian State's not a team to fuck with. Excuse my language. Oof. I don't know about this. I'm going with Appalachian State in an upset. NC State, Mississippi State. I'm going with NC State. Louisville and Eastern Kentucky. Louisville, obviously. I think they get out of their little funk. North Carolina, Georgia State. Sam Howell becomes a Heisman candidate after his historic beating of Georgia State. Florida State and Jacksonville State. Obviously, you know what happens here, right? Florida State will destroy them. Now for the rest of the top 25 and all around, let's see what games stick out here. See, there's Oregon and Ohio State at 11 o'clock a.m. I'm going with Ohio State. I'm going with the Buckeyes at home. 11 o'clock a.m. Yeah, I'm definitely going with the Buckeyes. Yeah, there's not much to, you know, convince me that Oregon's going to win this one. I mean, it's a Pac-12. Yeah, Ohio State just has too many weapons. Let's see what else we got here. Anything in particular that's good? Duquesne plays Ohio. Wow. Ohio should win this one, but it's on ESPN3 if you guys want to watch it. Notre Dame and Toledo. Notre Dame should win that one easily. Robert Morris plays Central Michigan. I like this. You know, these local colleges playing these major schools. Gotta go with Central Michigan. But that game is also on ESPN3, guys, if you want to watch it. UAB and Georgia. UAB usually gives teams a hard time, but I'm going with Georgia on this one. Texas A&M and Colorado. A&M kind of struggled a little bit last week, but... ooh, it's at Colorado. Honestly, I'm going with the Buffaloes. I'm going with Colorado. Penn State and Ball State. Penn State's a -22. I like Penn State in this one. I think they cover. James Franklin hates not covering, so I think he'll run up the score. Cal and TCU. Gotta go with TCU on that one. Seriously, guys, there's a lot of really decent games this weekend. I mean, Ohio and Iowa State. 10th break Iowa versus 9th Iowa State. I gotta go with Iowa. I gotta go with the Hawkeyes. Because it was based on recent history. Let's take a look around. Now, if you're West Virginia fans, you guys play Long Island University. It's at 4 o'clock. It's on ESPN+. You guys should probably win that one pretty easily. Houston and Rice. Rice gave... Houston's a -8. And this is a must-win for Dana. Because they lost last week. Who did they lose to, by the way? Oh, yeah, Texas Tech. Well, I mean, that's given they're going to lose to Texas Tech. It's at Rice Stadium. So regardless, it's still in Houston. I go with, if they lose this game, they're screwed. Well, at least Dana's screwed. I'm going with Houston. Let's see what else we got going on here. Texas and Arkansas, an old Southwest Conference matchup. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Let's see. I'm going to go with Arkansas at home. I'm going like the other way on a lot of these. Anything else today? Let's see. Texas Southern Baylor. That's good Lord. Baylor should win that one easily. I mean, it's a lot of these games are some are 1AA's, but I mean, it's cool to see Duquesne and... Robert Morris playing some of these opponents. Anything else particular that's of interest? Let's see. Washington, Michigan, another Pac-12, Big Ten matchup. I like Michigan at home. I think they, yep. Utah and BYU. I think big game for Utah. I like them. Stanford, USC. Gotta go with USC because Stanford's a little, they're kind of a hot mess right now. And that's really about it for the, any replies on Twitter here? No, nothing. Nothing. If you could bring back one closed Pittsburgh restaurant, what would it be? I don't know. I haven't really been back in over, I've been gone for 12 years. Nigros and White Oak or North for Sales, depending on, or McKeesport, depending on where your geography is. I said Nigros and McKeesport, and somebody corrected me and said actually it's North for Sales, and he's kind of right. It's on that little border thing. So on 48, I'd probably go with Nigros, I think, for a Pittsburgh restaurant. Is there anything else? I mean, there's the Carousel by Kennywood. I mean, that was not a bad place. I mean, I think it was a bar. I think it burned down, I think. I mean, if we're talking Mon Valley, one place in particular, I remember the Bettis Lounge. That was by the Bettis Laboratory in West Mifflin. And I remember it burned down. I think the sign's still up for it. I remember as a kid, I looked up. I was going to the bus stop, and I saw this big cloud of smoke from on top of the hill behind the BP. I think it was a Boron by that time. It was a Boron gas station, but it became a BP. And I just remember the rumor has it, supposedly the terrorists meant to blow up. It blew up, supposedly, rumor has it. And supposedly the rumor is the terrorists meant to blow up the Bettis Laboratory. And I guess when they were told Bettis, they blew up the Bettis Lounge instead. That's the rumor I heard. That's a good question. Nigros sticks out. Not sure who else though. I mean, that's a lot to think about. Remember the one restaurant at the waterfront that was initially the Cap City Diner? And then it just morphed into several different restaurants. I think it was like the Red Hot and Blue, and I think it was a Mexican restaurant at one time. It went through so many different changes because for some reason that place always did bad for some reason. I'm trying to think what it is now. Is it a Bravo's now? I mean, I did like Pizza Perfecto, and that was in West Mifflin as well. I always liked their Italian hoagies and their pizza bread. I would walk home from the Woodland Flea Market. Sometimes I would stop there usually to get pizza bread or something like that. And it was scalding hot when you buy it, but by the time I'd walk home with it, it would be, it'd be warm enough to eat. It'd be cool. It'd be cool down enough to eat. But for life of me, I can't think of anything else. But anyways, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy some more football. Hail to Pitt. Bye.